Hi, and welcome to the newest episode of the Omniverse podcast. Today I am going to give you the story, Never Hunt Ghosts Alone. But first, a little chit-chat. I decided to relaunch the podcast because, well, really, I've been wanting to do this for a while. And I've been inspired by just listening to some of my mentors like Paul Cooley continue to podcast, and I dug out some of my old podcasting gear, and I had gotten some podcasting equipment not that long ago, and it was just sitting collecting dust in my office. And I was like, you know what? I need to get back into the game. So I decided to do it. I enjoy it. And it's a good way to get my fiction to you guys. So here we are. So without any more chit-chat, here is Never Hunt Ghosts Alone. Bob spread his sleeping bag out on the floor of what had been the living room in this old house. Once that was set, he made sure that he had all of the cameras on and recording. There was no power in this space and hadn't been since the incident in the early 60s. No one had lived here since then, and who could blame them? An axe murder followed by a messy suicide, and all of that precipitated by some kind of occult ceremony was grim business. For him, it was business, period. Since the mishap in the bayou, he'd been relegated to becoming his own star. That meant shooting pitches rather than scouting locations and getting other people to do it. The studio hadn't been upset about his almost getting killed. They were angry he hadn't got the supposed creature on tape. He'd spent 6 weeks in the hospital, and all of that on his dime. Glad he'd made it out alive, he was just as mad he hadn't taken even so much as a still picture. The scars were some kind of proof, and he wore the three sets with pride. It had gotten him laid more than once. It wasn't enough, though. He looked into the camera. Bob Edwards here, and I'm shooting some rough tape for the first installment in Spooks, Sociopaths, and Sickos. I'm here in the Cooley House, yes, the infamous Edwardian, featured in the Cooleyville Horror, among others. Rumor has it, 40-plus years ago, in an effort to summon a little-known supernatural force, and perhaps kickstart a lagging writing career, the owner of this house ended up chopping 12 people to pieces, and then cutting off his own head with a double-bitted axe. Was he successful at the summoning? Are there any spooks here? I'm going to find out. He gestured to the circle of electronics around him. I have a suite of the best ghost hunting gear and a nose for sniffing out the supernatural. Personally, I think the latter will be of more use. We shall see, though. It's just 10 minutes before midnight. The temperature is a crisp 59 degrees. I'm here all on my own, with no camera tricks or assistance, to ensure what you see is what you get. In truth, he had a whole bag full of gimmicks and things stashed around the house just in case nothing happened. He panned the camera around the room to show whatever audience might see this that he was alone. It had a lot in common with the magician showing you his empty hands. What he didn't show was more important. According to my research, the real action usually takes place right around midnight. The research he'd done indicated nothing of the kind. No one had set foot in this place in a decade, at least not that he knew of. Oddly enough, in this little coal mining town named after the assailant's family, there was no one left. The mine had gone under in the 80s, and the townsfolk went with it. "We don't have long to wait." Something above his head creaked. He'd done the walkthrough in daylight, and even then this place was creepy. Carpet had been ripped out, down to the bare pine. Stains, be they water or blood, were deep in the swirls of wood grain. Chips in the lathe and plaster walls could have been made last year or decades ago. Graffiti from across the intervening years was heavily layered on many of the walls. Only one room was pristine, the one above his head where the suicide had happened, where Mr. Cooley had somehow managed to decapitate himself. The axe was found in his hands, with no other prints on it. His head lay a good 3 feet away. Bob's skin broke out in big goosebumps under his red tracksuit. He could feel the weight of a pistol in its ankle holster. There was someone in the house. He'd been here for 6 hours, spending most of that time reading a trashy novel. No one had come in or moved around during that time. "Folks, I'm going to go up and take a look." He grabbed one of the cameras, the one on the long pole. He also took one of the thermometers. If he thumbed the right button, it was calibrated to display a temperature a good 20 degrees colder than the room's. "Come with me." As he walked, he adjusted the headlamp he wore to see where he was walking. The floorboards were weak in spots, and more than a few holes waited to snare someone who wasn't watching their step. He got to the base of the stairs and looked up. The pool of light rapidly dissipated and became nearly useless at the top. Thankfully, he didn't see anything looking back at him. The camera stayed focused on his face while he began the ascent. If anything happened, he could flip it around, but he wanted any reaction he had on film first and foremost. He shot the air ahead with the thermometer. It read cool, the air temperature now in the mid-50s. "Now," he whispered, more for dramatic effect, "there are a few theories as to who or what haunts the place. Of course, it could be the people killed here." His eyes flicked down to the camera lens. "That's the obvious answer. There are stories that this place was built on the same land where the natives buried their sick and demented." Complete rubbish, since as far as he knew, the natives didn't have a separate burial ground for crazies. "Who knows what stalks these?" Another creak came from the top of the steps. He looked up to see a skeletal face hanging in the air just a few feet ahead. The translucent apparition had a scowl and jagged teeth. Orange light filled the pits where its eyes should be. Bob exhaled harshly. "What? Get out!" The voice was like wind through dried haystacks. "You are not wanted here." Bob took a step back. Was he really seeing this? He flipped the camera around, hoping it got the face. His bowels made a sound like they didn't appreciate what he had for dinner. "Are you real?" The question hung in the still air. The head shimmered and disappeared like an excellent special effect. "What was that?" he asked himself, forgetting for the moment he was being recorded. Another series of squeaks and groans came from further up the stairs. Based on his walkthrough earlier today, he knew it was definitely coming from the clean room. He got to the top of the stairs without another incident. When he took the last step, he passed through an eddy of what felt like refrigerated air. He triggered the thermometer, and it read 26 degrees. His teeth began chattering. "I'm experiencing this. This is a real experience." He felt sick to his stomach, and his palms were sweating. He didn't know what to say. He'd let the voiceover guy cover anything stupid he said with some more bogus facts about the house and the land around it. The door to the room was just a few feet ahead. He wasn't ready for his right foot to go through a soft spot. The camera went one direction and his thermometer went the other. He cracked the top of his head on the floorboards. Sudden darkness and the bite of sharp plastic into his skin meant he'd broken the headlamp. He groaned in pain, and blood trickled down his face. He pushed himself up and pulled his leg free. a jagged splinter dug into his thigh. In the distance, someone laughed. Underneath that sound, the steady scraping of stone on metal filled the air. He squatted, waiting for his eyes to adjust. Eventually, he could make out the doorframe. Light came from the room beyond. "Run!" The whispered word came from behind him. He grabbed the splinter, as long and big around as a pencil, and yanked it out. Blood welled up and ran down in rivulets on either side of his bent leg. "I won't. I won't run." The dim light from his camera and the thermometer were magnets for his eyes. He scrabbled across the floor until he had the recorder. Once it was turned on his face, he spoke. "This isn't a joke. I'm really hearing things. I'm really seeing things. Just like with the bayou creature. If something happens to me and this is found, I want my producer to know I died doing what I enjoyed." He flipped the lens around to the front. The camera couldn't pick out much. He didn't have one of the low-light jobs. That one was still downstairs. The door swung open, and a dim blue-white light came from behind a massive figure. It didn't speak, as there was no head for it to speak from. The groan of the boards under its weight spoke to just how solid it was. "You're some dude in a costume. I don't know how you got in here or what your..." The axe came sailing at him from off the thing's shoulder. The overhand throw was expert. It buried its head in the floorboards. "Take the axe," the whisper came from behind him. Bob placed the camera on the floor. He tried to stop himself, but he was no longer running the show. "I'm not doing this. Something is controlling me." Experience helped him in placing it just so he could get himself in the frame. "Please, don't!" He spoke through gritted teeth, his hands wrapped around the ice-cold wood of the handle. He wrenched it free of the floor, though it took some effort. "You were warned. You would make a mockery of this place." The voice was like stone on stone. "Now you will die as you lived. Finish it." "No!" he shouted. The camera didn't record the sight of the impact, but the sound of metal hitting flesh was unmistakable, as was the gurgling of blood. There was a rolling thump and the clatter of the axe on the floor.